Emma, you ready?
So we'll discuss some Inyani Chanukah, the last night of Chanukah. So the Rambam begins Hilchos Chanukah in a very interesting way, where he doesn't discuss the rest of the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah is basically a halachic sefer. In fact, so much so, the Rambam writes in his introduction that, you know what, you only need two books in your library. I guess I got it all wrong. You only need two books. One, the 24 books of Tanakh, the 24 books of Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and the Torah, and my sefer, the Mishnah Torah. In fact, that's why it's called Mishnah Torah. Where does that name come from, Mishnah Torah? That's what the fifth book of Devarim is known as. Mishnah means a summary, a repeat of the Torah. So basically, the Devarim is a summary. Moshe is getting up and reviewing the whole four books. So the Rambam uses the word Mishnah Torah to show, I'm summarizing the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. I'm summarizing. And some people felt it was a little haughty for the Rambam to say that. And therefore, in yeshivas, they don't call it the Mishnah Torah. They call it the Yad. The Yad HaChazak. The Yad, Yud is 14 volumes, Yud and Dalet. They don't like calling it because they don't like the name he used. But this is interesting. I always say over the Vilna Gaon on this, why would the Rambam... I said, you're allowed a little bit of Gaiva, the Gemara tells us. A Talmud Chacham could have like 1/64th of... I wouldn't like to say gaiva, like haughtiness, but let's say confidence. Maybe a little overconfidence. What's it based on? Where do we know you have 1/64? So the Vilna Gaon says something interesting. In the Pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, which is the 8th Parsha, and the 8th Pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov Avino says, Kotonti mikol hachasidim. He says, God, I don't deserve all of this. You're too good to me. But what's the implication? I don't deserve all of it. But a little bit I deserve. So that's the Pasuk 8 of 8. So that's where the Vilna Gaon, that's where the Gemara's source is. From Yaakov Avino, a drop. So therefore maybe the Rambam, God could use it a drop. He called it the Mishnah Torah. So either way, the Rambam writes, this is the Torah Shabbat Peh, and it's all you need. So it's very interesting that the Rambam, when he begins Hilchos Chanukah, right after Purim, in fact, he puts them in the same halacha. The first two chapters, I believe, is Purim. Then he talks about Chanukah. Perek Gimel, which is Perek Aleph for Chanukah. He starts going into the history of Abayish. He goes through the whole story of Chanukah and Abayish about the Greeks, what they try to do. And he goes on and on about, you know, different history. And he goes at the end, and then the Chashmonaim took over, and finally they ruled for over 200 years. And it was a good thing. So the Rambam goes through the history. The question is, the Rambam's not a history book. So why over here, all of a sudden, does he wake up and start discussing the history of Chanukah? So, and he doesn't do it by Purim either. By Purim, he doesn't go into the history. So simple explanation one could give, I think Rav Soloveitchik mentions this as well, that because he has a language by Purim, V'hadvarim yiduim. Purim is well known. In other words, it's well known as the book of Esther is in Tanakh. You have one, as he said, you learn the 24 books, then come to me. So I have no reason to go into Purim. You all know about Purim. A Chanukah, Chanu Chafhei. You rested on the 25th. So it means the 25th of Kislev, but the Derech Drush, the 25th book. It was supposed to be book 25, and we said, no, we're closing up shop. Of Tanakh, you're out. So the Rambam fell up, so that's it. So what did I say? You need all you have is a Tanakh, so you're not going to know anything about Chanukah. Hence the Rambam has to go into the history and tell me all about it because there's no other place where you're going to know it. So that's simple pshat. But, you know, we'll share some other reasons as well. What is the Rambam going into it? In other words, the Rambam, in fact, he writes that for over, and he says, and after they took over the Chashmonaim, they retained the Malchus for like 200 years or so. So the different approaches to take. So some of the approaches we'll take is The Rambam is teaching me halacha, but we have to know the history in order to know the halacha. So which one? So one suggestion is as follows. The question is, and in fact, interesting, we know we say Hallel the whole Chanukah. In fact, that's why Rosh Chodesh, someone asked me, is there more saying it as a joke, but what should I have in mind in Hallel, Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah? Because the truth be told is, I told him Chanukah. He was joking, but he was giving him a real answer. Because really, Chanukah is a chiyuv to say Hallel every day of Chanukah. Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minhag. That's why we say Chatzi Hallel. Svarim don't make a bracha. There's only a custom to say Hallel. And that's why when I think Rav walked into Bavel, wherever it was, he went crazy. It was Rosh Chodesh, and they were saying Hallel. And then they skipped some of it, so he was okay with it. But really, it's only a custom on Rosh Chodesh. Chanukah is an obligation. So they point out that, so why don't we say, we know, we always compare Purim and Chanukah. When you have two opposites, there's nothing to compare. Compare and contrast is so different. But when things are similar and you find differences, then, it's more interesting. So you always try to find differences between Chanukah and Purim. So what's one difference? Difference is Hallel. We say Hallel on Chanukah. We don't say Hallel on Purim. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? That's the famous Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara and Megillah is, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? If it says, on the Gemara's question is, if on Pesach we say Hallel, we went from Avdus to Chayrus, from slavery to freedom, and we warrants to say Hallel, how much more so Mimiso Lachayim, from the Zera of Haman to be killed, to be saved, how much more so warrants Hallel? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara gives three different answers why we do not say Hallel on Purim. A1, answer number one is because it says Purim, the miracle happened in Chutz La'aretz. In Chanukah, it was in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdosh. But by Purim, it was in Chutz La'aretz, and the Gemara says you only say Hallel on a miracle that happened in Eretz Yisrael. I know what you're thinking. We say Hallel on Pesach, and last I checked, the exodus from Egypt did not happen in Israel. In fact, the Rambam writes, it's one of the places you can't live. Pesukim in the Chumash. So what do you mean? You only could say Hallel on a miracle that happened. It's not true. So we have to use the grandfather clause for all you accountants out there. We grandfather you. In other words, so obviously the Gemara explains, that's only once Yeshua entered Eretz Yisrael and we went in. Before we had Eretz Yisrael, so obviously Eretz Yisrael wasn't an impediment in saying Hallel. So that's what the Gemara. So the first answer stands, you only say Hallel miracles that happened in Eretz Yisrael after the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael. A2 is, we do say Hallel, but I just said we don't say Hallel. So what do you mean? You're confusing me. So the Gemara says, Kriyasa zu halela. The Kriyas HaMegillah is the Hallel. So we do say Hallel, it's a different type of Hallel. That's A2. And in fact, we'll come back to that in a second. That what happens if you live, or maybe we'll do it right now, we'll get back to it in a minute. What happens then if you live in a small town and for every reason you don't have a Megillah Esther, a Purim morning you're davening? So should you say Hallel then? That's what the Meiri raises, but we'll come back to that. So the second answer is, the Megillah, we do say Hallel, but it's a different form. And the answer number three is, Akate Avde Achashverosh Anun. That we were still under the dominion of Achashverosh. It's true we were saved from the decree of being killed, but we're still under the dominion of Achashverosh. And therefore, you only can say Hallel when you're Avdei Hashem, but not Avdei Achashverosh. And therefore, that's what the Rambam's getting at. The Rambam's not giving me a history lesson for the sake of history. He's teaching me some history, but that's not what Mishnah Torah is all about. It's about teaching me halacha. You know what the Rambam's answering by giving us this history? He's explaining, He knows you're bothered by how come by Purim we don't say Hallel. So why are you going to be, I'm sure you're going to be bothered. How come? In fact, he goes to Hilchas Hallel in Hilchas Chanukah. So I'm sure it's bothering you. How can I say Hallel on Chanukah? So that's what the Rambam is doing in Halacha Aleph. He's saying the Chashmonan took over the kingship and there was Jewish control for the next 200 years. Why? Well, it's very nice. And we see parenthetically how Jewish, the Rambam calls it a Yeshua, salvation, when Jews run Eretz Yisrael. It's not run by a foreign government. It's a good thing to have Jewish control. So that's what he's coming to tell me. We're no longer Akate Abde, the Greeks anymore. We're Akate Abde Hashem. We so to speak, control our own destiny as much as you can without any foreign yoke over you. And that's what the Rambam's getting at. And that's why he brings down the history in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. So interesting, the Rambam, when he discusses why you don't say Hallel of Purim, he gives the second answer of the Gemara, I believe, Kriyasa Zu Halela. He says the Megillas Esther is the Hallel. So, but over here he seems to be giving a different reason. Number one, they don't have to be mutually exclusive, even though they're really fundamentally different. Really, one in three and two are fundamentally different. What do I mean they're fundamentally different? In other words, answer number one was because it didn't happen in Israel. Well, number three, you are still slaves of Achashverosh. So those are fundamental reasons why it's not a day worthy of Hallel. We're saying you shouldn't be saying Hallel. Answer number two is saying is, no, it is a day to say Hallel, you're right. And you know what? But we're not doing the regular, we're doing Megillas Esther. So in Hilchos Chanukah, he's assuming this pshat, you could go with a different pshat, you wouldn't have this question, but if you go like we're saying here, so then he seems to be going with the reason of Akate Abde Achashverosh here, and that's why we say Hallel, yet by Megillah, so perhaps it's not a contradiction, because as I mentioned, there's a famous kasha, the Me'iri. What happens if you don't have a Megillah in town? Do you say Hallel? So I think the Me'iri writes, yes. If you don't have, which logically makes a lot of sense. If Kriyasa Zu Halela, we passing like that reason, then why shouldn't you? So the kasha is, we passing if you're stuck in a town, no Megillah, no Hallel. So the question on us is, why? Why is our minig not to? It's logically compelling. So therefore, we have to come up with a reason. So that's what they explain as follows. That the two types of Hallels, that we know there's the Hallel, what's known as Hallel HaMitzri. That's the Hallel you say on Nisim. We say, B'tzei Yisrael Mitzrayim, you split the Red Sea. That's the classical Hallel. But the Hallel on Purim, the Megillas Esther, is a totally different Hallel. Megillas Esther, we know it was Hester Panim. God was behind the scenes, that you have to read in between the lines. Everything looks like one coincidence. Achashverosh couldn't sleep. Esther comes. The whole story is one big long coincidence. Yeah, and the trick is you have to see God behind the scenes. Like this famous story, they say when they were running, I think maybe it's during the Holocaust time, when they were running, and they went to this place. I guess they were in Russia somewhere, or running away, or going elsewhere. And I guess a Rebbe with a couple of his Hasidim, and the Rebbe told the Hasid, "Go get me the Russian paper." So the chassid said, "I will, but Rebbe, if you mind asking, you don't read Russian. Why am I getting you the paper?" He says, "No, you don't get it. You have to learn to read in between the lines. That's where all the news is." So the point being here, the story isn't that the Megillas Esther is seeing God behind the scenes. So he points out here that the two types of Hallel. So the reason why if you don't have a Megillah on Purim, we don't say our Hallel. Because it's the Hallel, we say Hallel Mitzvah, that's on the Hallel on God breaking the laws of nature, supernatural Nisim. The Megillas Esther, that's a totally different Hallel, so it's inappropriate for me to say Hallel. That's why we don't say Hallel on Purim, on Megillah, because it's not appropriate to the day. And you know, as the Meshech Chachma points out in a different context, but the same Yisod, that there's an apparent contradiction in the Gemara. The Gemara says one place, If you say Ashrei three times a day, you warrant reward in the world to come. And another Gemara says in Shabbos, one who says how every day is a Magadev and a Macharis, is one who's cursing and blaspheming God. So the Kash is, where does Ashrei come from? The book of Tehillim. Where does Howl come from? The book of Tehillim. So which one is, should I be saying Tehillim every day or not? Make up your mind. I'm Zocha Tehillim, I'm going to get reward in the next world, or I'm going to cursing out God. I'm violating one of the seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach of Birkas Hashem. So the Meshach Chachma gets a beautiful answer. He says, no, the two different things. He says, if a person only sees God on the Nisim, the flows, if you only see God, well, you know, like you're, you know, we live in a society where you're good as your last at bat, your last fight, your last game, the Jets are terrible, Monday night, that's it, you're as good as your last game, and that's the world we live in. So, in terms of if you say, you know, God, you know, come, you do a miracle for me, if I see a miracle, you know, then get, so that person only sees God in the miracles, so that type of attitude, you're not going anywhere in life, you're a Magadev and Macharev. But what's Ashrei? What is that symbolic of? If you look at the Ashrei, it's in the form of Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Someone who sees God in the everyday things. I woke up this morning. I could walk. I could see. I could enjoy my food. I could breathe. I am healthy. If you see God in the things you share in common with animals, it's the that type of attitude. Then you're going to be talking about Lamaha because the person has Hakara Satov. They don't live in the, some people live in their own world of entitlement, that they think they have everything coming to them. Those people are always going to be unhappy no matter what, because whatever they have, they don't appreciate. It's only when they don't have something, they're complaining. That's just the opposite of Hakara Satov. You're a Kafi Tover. Kafi Tova, you deny, you're an ingrate. You deny all the good that God has done for us. So it's the everyday thing. So that's the difference, the two different Hallel. So that's why we paskin not like the Meiri. Even if there is no Megillah on Purim, we don't say Hallel, because that's a different type of, the Hallel of the Megillah's Esther is a totally different type of Hallel. So getting back to answer up, why did the Rambam bring up the history? He brought up the history because he wanted to teach us this Halacha. How can we say Hallel on Chanukah? We're no longer Akate Avdei Greeks anymore. Or Akate Avdi Hashem. That's one possibility. A second or third possibility is as follows. The Rambam writes, there's a chiyuv to have a suda on Chanukah. We don't paskin like the Rambam. It's a machlokas in the Rishonim. We paskin there is no obligation to have a suda, to have a meal. But that's why the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, therefore if you're having a meal, you should have divrei Torah, you should sing shiros v'tishpachos, and therefore you'll make it into a sudas mitzvah. But strictly speaking, there's no chiyuv of having a meal on Chanukah. So the question is, why not? Back to our original, we always try to compare Chanukah and Purim as sisters and brothers. They're similar, so when there's a difference, we want to know, it's okay to ask why, but it's okay to have differences, but then there has to be a reason why. Because all things being equal, they'll be similar. So why is it that by Purim there's an obligation to have a meal, but by Chanukah there's not? There's a famous answer of the Levush, who says as follows, it's the nature of the persecution. That we know the two types of anti-Semitism that Yaakov Avinu alluded to when he was praying against Esav, when Esav was about to come. So he said to God, Hatzilenina, God save me, Miyad Achi, from the hands of my brother, Umiyad Esav, and from the hands of Esav. Last I checked, Esav and Yaakov are brothers, so what's this redundancy? From the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esav? So the answer is, as the Beis Halevi points out, there are two types of anti-Semitism. One, they're going to come into form as our brother. They don't want to kill us, they want us to convert. They want us to missionize, to be part of them, like the Greeks. They didn't want to kill us, but they wanted us to adapt the Greek culture. And then there's the Hamans and the Hitlers of the world. They don't care. You could be a heretic. I don't believe in God. I don't care if you believe in God or not. You're a Jew, and then we want you dead, and that's the end of it. So those are the two types of antitzeva. That's why Chazal gave us two rabbinical holidays, the holiday of Chanukah and Purim, to represent the different types of antisemitism. Purim represents the physical, and Chanukah represents the spiritual. The Greek wants us to adapt the Greek. That's why by Purim we have a Chiyuv Suda, because it was a physical way, so therefore we celebrate in a physical manner. But Chanukah was spiritual. At the end it became a war, but they wanted to spiritually kill us. And that's why, how do we celebrate? With Hallel and Hodah, lighting the Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah represents Torah. And the key to all assimilation is Jewish education, is learning Torah. That's what the Chanukah candles represent. So that could be, that's another reason, perhaps. The Rambam holds his Achiyav Suda. So that's why he's going into, he's saying that we can't ignore the war part either. It's true, the main essence of Chanukah is the spiritual, but the Rambam goes into detail about the war to tell us, to explain why he thinks you have a Chiyav Suda on Chanukah, because it also is similar to Purim. We did have to go through the physical suffering as well. So that's another possibility, either to teach us the Din of Hallel, or to teach us the halacha that that you have to have a Suda on Chanukah. And one more possibility we'll give is as follows. The Rambam also has interesting language. Galos, the Chanukah is to reveal the miracles of Chanukah. So what's he getting at over there? So there's one other place, not the Rambam, but the Tor. The Tor is a halacha sefer. He writes on the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber. You know, so they go towards the Tor Shulchan Aruch, at the Shulchan Aruch. And he basically is a halacha sefer. So also, in going out of character, when he discusses certain mitzvahs, he starts going into the history behind them. Like, I think he discusses it by Sukkah. He says, remember about, because you need the schach, that you have to remember when you sin in the Sukkah, you have to remember the Sukkah's teshuvah, you have to look at the schach and remember. And the other ones maybe by Tzitzis. And so he has a couple of them where he goes into the history behind it. And he tells just, and it's very strange, because he always gives us the halacha, and he's telling me, he's going into much more detail in these halachas. So they point out, the later commentators point out, what's the Torah getting at? Because we have a concept in the Gemara, machlokas in the Gemara, whether you darshina and taima dekra, whether you could take the pasuk and then take the reason and either limit or expand the scope of the mitzvah. So the classic example is, the Torah says you can't take collateral from a widow. And it doesn't say why, it says you can't. The assumption is because she's poor, you can't take her last blanket, her coat, because maybe she needs it. So that's the assumption, but this says you can't take collateral. So is a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon, what about if she's a wealthy widow? She had a nice life insurance policy, she was independently wealthy, whatever the issue was, she has a rich widow, could you take collateral from her? So that's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, Eino darshinan taima dekra. We have no right to take the reason for the mitzvah and limit and expand the mitzvah. That's it. The Torah says, no, that's the end of it. You can't do it. And Rav Shimon says, no, darshinan taima dekra. You can take the reason. It's obvious why, because she was poor, but if she's rich, it's okay to do it. Interesting, getting back, Rav Shimon, who normally says you take the reason, getting back to the anti-Semitism for a second, Rashi writes, it's halacha v'yadua, he's quoting Rav Shimon, the one I'm quoting right now, she Esav soni as Yaakov, that when Esav went to kiss or by Yaakov at the dots, so it says, it's halacha Moshe b'sinai, it's in the Bria that there'll be anti-Semitism. So it's interesting, who makes this comment? Rav Shimon bar Yochai, who normally is darshinan time, he usually says, no, let's look at the reason. So they point out, Rav Menachem Zembersi, even Rav Shimon, who normally says, you should take the reason into account, but when it's anti-Semitism, that's illogical, that's thrown out of the picture, because it doesn't make a difference. They're going to hate you. It's either because you're too rich, or you're too poor, you're too good-looking, you're too ugly. The reasons change throughout Jewish history, But halacha v'yedua she'esav soni as Yaakov. Even it's Rav Shimon, who normally takes to reason, even he agrees that there is no logic behind anti-Semitism. So getting back, so that's what they point out here, that so based on this, you know why they say the Torah was giving the reason for the mitzvahs? Because he was giving you a history because of this mitzvah. So we normally pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't take the reason, but when the Torah itself gives the reason, we follow Rav Shimon. So the Torah gives the reason by Sukkah. Why do you have to send the Sukkah? L'man yedu roseihem. So what they're saying, the Torah is saying, to fulfill your mitzvah, you have to have this positive kavana. So that's what the Rambam is getting out here. He's going into the whole history of Hanukkah, the Persume Nisa, as part of the mitzvah of Hanukkah. It's not enough just lighting the candles, but it has to be a lighting of the candles which involves Persume Nisa. That's why the Rambam writes, if you miss Tichel Regel Min Hashuk in the time of the Gemara, that's it. You can't light candles because it has to be a Maisa Hadlaka together with Persume Nisa. That's what the Rambam is getting at. Logalos, so he has to give us all the history so we know why, what's behind the reason of Ner Chanukah. So to summarize, we gave, I think, four explanations. One was that by Purim's in the ring, it's in the 24 books. Megillas Esther, so the Rambam doesn't need history. But Chanukah is not in there, so therefore you felt compelled to do it. Or A2 was, the focus was he wanted to teach us that the Hashmonim took over, and therefore warrants us to say Hallel now, because now you can say Hallel, because we're no longer Akate Avdei Achashverosh, we're no longer Akate Avdei Greeks anymore. Or this third reason we gave is he's focusing on the war to explain why the Rambam also holds Chanukah was a physical thing as well like Purim, and therefore you have a Chi of Suda. Or the other explanation, Logalos is Anes, that to tell us that the built into the mitzvah, Meir Chanukah isn't like any regular mitzvah, the mitzvah is Persume Nisa, and therefore he has to tell you all about it in order so you know what you should be thinking, what to do, so you can fulfill the mitzvah appropriately.